You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We do have some breaking news to share with you. We started the show with this after an ambush of two Milwaukee police officers that happened last night near 24th and Garfield. Milwaukee police say now they do have a suspect in custody. Wanted to let you know about that. They had warned folks to be on the lookout. So at this point, they do have a suspect in custody in connection with this ambush shooting of two Milwaukee police officers, a 29-year-old officer taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The 32-year-old officer remains in critical condition. We will keep you updated as more information becomes available. Right now, though, it is Friday. He joins us every Friday at this time. Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulationaria, Dan Schaefer, is here. Good to have you in studio.
Thanks for having me. Always wonderful to be here and to join you on Matt Nair on Air. But and first, before we get into it, thoughts are with the Milwaukee police officers, of course, and all of those involved in the emergency vehicles and all of that that go into something like this. This stuff really ripples out in the city.
Absolutely.
So, thoughts with all involved, for sure.
And again, if we get any other breaking news related to that, we will be sure to pass that along with you. But at this point, again, Milwaukee police do have a suspect in custody in connection with that ambush shooting of two Milwaukee police officers last night. We had a lot of results come out yesterday from the Marquette University Law School poll.
That's right. And as you well know, Jane and Greg, as I've been doing now for 6 years at the Recombobulation Area, I've written a breakdown of every new installment of the Marquette University Law School poll. So
it doesn't take any time at all.
Yeah, that's right. But I every time I think it's like, oh, I don't have to come up with a column idea this week. This will be an easy one to write. But then I end up spending a lot of time crunching the numbers and digging into it and trying to find some interesting takeaways from it. So that's what I have published yesterday at the Recombobulation Area, my five takeaways from the latest poll here. So I think maybe let's start with the Tony Evers question,
sure,
because I think that was the headline item from the poll. And, you know, I was not surprisingly watching that one with interest, considering I wrote a column that got a little bit of attention a couple of weeks ago here about whether or not Tony Evers should run for a third term. So, of course, you know where I stand on this one. I do not think that Tony Evers should run for a third term. And here's how it broke down on the polling on the top line overall and then by party identification. So overall, 42% of Wisconsin voters say Tony Evers should run for a third term, with 55% saying that he should not. Now, this breaks down in pretty typical
per party
partisan fashion.
Yeah.
So for Republicans, 93% say no. Or that he should not run.
Only 93?
No, what a shock.
Yeah. And then for independents, I thought this was probably the most interesting one of the takeaways here. 37% say yes, and 50% say no. So a double digit, you know, net negative for whether independents say that Tony Evers should run for a third term. And then among Democrats, it is, again, kind of like what you might expect, the inverse of the Republican side, although a few more no's. So 83% of Democrats say that Tony Evers should run for a third term, with 15% saying no. So overall, that's how you get to that 42% yes, 55% no overall breakdown.
But
I
do find it interesting that, I mean, at least among independents and Democrats, Tony Evers is well-liked.
Mm-hmm.
He is.
He is well-liked. And if you look at the favorability numbers and the approval ratings in the poll, like they haven't gone up considerably over the last few years or anything, but they've been very, very steady, you know, usually a slight net positive for Evers. I think that's where he was in the approval rating. His favorability was a slight net negative. But that's another thing that we see in the poll and that I highlighted here as well, is that if they poll all these politicians and political parties and movements for their favorability number. So it's just the question is, do you have a favorable or unfavorable view of this person or party or whatever? Tony Evers has the best mark of anyone there. But it is a negative. It is a negative, net negative two.
Wow.
So negative three for Tammy Baldwin, negative four for Ron Johnson, negative six for J.D. Vance, negative eight for Donald Trump, negative eight for the Republican Party, negative 10 for the MAGA movement, negative 16 for the Black Lives Matter movement, negative 19 for Elon Musk, and negative 25 for the Democratic Party.
Whoa.
So
Wow. That
is how things break down. So Tony Evers, one of the things that he always talks about, Tony Evers is the most well-liked politician in Wisconsin. Well, he's well-liked because nobody really likes anyone.
Yes, we don't like anything.
Yeah, we don't like it. But I think this is partially just like what you come to expect in a 50-50 state. Like if you get anybody from within your own party in this very evenly divided state that, you know, you lose 2% of support within your own party, well, then you're going to have like a net negative or whatever. And I think that part of that is just the nature of things in a state like Wisconsin that is so deeply polarized and so evenly divided in so many ways. But I think it also just kind of shows to where our politics are right now, because nobody really seems to have a particularly positive view of anyone.
No, I mean, the Democrats are really frustrated. The Republicans are, I don't know how they feel. Maybe overconfident at this point. But the thing that's interesting to me is the Democratic support of Tony Evers saying to run, and then the independents who say you should run. Because that's, if I'm Tony Evers, that's what I'm looking at.
Is the independent
I'm
numbers?
Looking at, all right, I'm going to have, will... Because of everything that happened last year with regard to Joe Biden and just kind of anointing Kamala Harris, and there being real outcry from Democrats saying, look, you didn't give us a process. You told us what we were doing.
You anointed her.
Exactly. And they didn't like that. There was blowback on that. It was something we heard about the day after the election, was this sort of handing the torch with no input from the people. If Tony Evers runs again, will Democrats just kind of stand back and say, all right, he's the guy? Will there be Democrats in that list that you talked about weeks ago who will stand and say, no, I'm going to primary this because I want to run for governor because we need a new person in there? All that being done, if Tony's the guy, does he still retain as a lot of that Democratic support? And can he push enough independents his way to get him a third term?
Yeah. And I think these numbers, I don't think are far from definitive in any direction. Yeah. They don't clearly say that, well, obviously Evers, his time has run out. He can't run again.
Sure.
They also don't say that he's a lock to get reelected. That, you know, most popular politician. It's not like Tommy Thompson numbers or like some of the other times that we've seen, like, especially popular politicians in Wisconsin. It's not like that. That's why I think it's a genuine question and why we need to be having this conversation.
Yes.
But also I looked up some other numbers here relating to this as well. I mean, this is generally how things go. Like, Democrats like Democratic politicians. You know, Republicans like Republican politicians.
So shocked.
This is not news to any of you here, right? But if you go back to June 2024, that poll conducted just before that debate, 1 year ago today, the worst debate performance in the history of debate performances from former President Joe Biden, 83% of Democrats had a favorable view at the time of then President Joe Biden. Just over a month later, more than 90% of Democrats agreed with Biden's decision to withdraw from the race.
Wow.
Yeah.
So things can change pretty quickly, and I think we overestimate underestimate how public opinion can shift with a new candidate.
On a dime.
Well, I think it's also the many of the people. I mean, we talk to some of them here. We listen to people on the air, both in Civic Media and beyond, saying how wonderful Joe Biden was, and the week after, it was a brave move. Or, you know, we were behind Kamala Harris. I think it's not so much that people. I don't know if they agreed. They agreed, but they also were probably really afraid to say it before it happened.
Yeah.
They're not going to be the ones to come out and say, yeah, Joe Biden needs to step down because this is a problem. They are towing party lines, and the moment he steps down, they're like, yeah, that's kind of what I thought too. Okay, all right, cool. Kamala Harris is the lady. Let's do this.
And right.
It was just, I don't know. This is interesting. Like, yeah, I mean, how many Marquette polls are going to be released between now and just next year.
There'll be a few. And then Charles Franklin, the poll director, gave me some additional numbers. I had a question about this. So like, I was like, well, is there a division by age within Democratic voters? Are older or younger Democratic voters have different views on whether Evers should run again? And there is a little bit of a divide there with the youngest age group that they poll, the 18 to 29 year old voters, basically the Gen Z vote right now. So while 83% of Democrats across the board say that Evers should run again, in that 18 to 29 range, only 68% say that Evers should run for a third term. So I do think that, you know, as Democrats, we've had all these conversations about how to reach, how Democrats can better reach younger voters. My thesis on this is run younger candidates. So I do think there is an aspect of this too, where it's just like there is going to be this generational divide. And I think Democrats are really playing with fire and losing some of those younger voters that have been really key to their coalition for a long time.
855-752-4842. If you would like to join the conversation, Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area. Gene from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Gene. Thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning, guys. I totally disagree with even questioning Evers, because people on our side of the state see a lot of him. We see more of him than any governor ever. And also, he is responsive to the public. And I think people know that. They don't have any complaints on how he's governing the state. I've never seen so much work done on our roads and monies going back to the communities. And people know the guy. I mean, they knew him from when he worked with the schools. He's outstanding. He's not a showboat. With what we're going to get coming in here with lots of moolah and lots of lies, they cannot lie about Tony Evers, because people know what he's done and they do like him. Now, comparing him to Biden is a whole different ballgame, because we had people running down Biden for a very long time before the race came up, and, oh, he's too old, or, oh, he's trips, or, and things like that. And because of his difficulty with speech, everybody knows Tony Evers. He's a normal kind of guy, and yeah, he's not the best debater, but gol darn it, he gets things done, and he means what he says, and he has honesty and integrity, which I think is missing in a lot of things going on. And to try to educate somebody and get trust, because we need trust right now more than anything in our country and in our state. And we know Tony, and he's not going to pull all kinds of crap like Trump is and what Scotty Walker did. So we know him. So anyway, that's my two cents, and it's probably even a lot more than that. Thank you for letting me get this off my chest, because, gol darn it, there is something in repeating that people, when they take surveys, they go, well, I know he's doing a good job.
It gets in their head, right, Gene? Yeah. Thank you, Gene. Really appreciate it. And that's a great, you know, that's your opinion. Absolutely. Yep. You're absolutely entitled to that. And I do agree with a lot of what she said as far as Tony is not a showboat. Tony is kind of the epitome of a Wisconsinite. But he's not out there bragging about all his accomplishments.
Which I think it can be detrimental. But I also think the conversation, and I disagree with Jeannie, the conversation needs to be had.
Period. Well, and again, I don't think anybody's saying Tony's not competent, any of those things. But what are our options? Oh, the carpetbagger boys are coming back. All the details on the other side. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Text in the word
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are in the midst of our free Ticket Friday giveaway. Grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, pick out your favorite station, and text in the word text.
How's that spelled?
T-E-X-T. No, it's T-E-X-T.
Put your phone down, Dan.
Text it. You can't win.
Text I keep in
the
trying.
You can't win. Text in the word text. You have until 11 o'clock via the Civic Media app. You will be in the running for a four-pack of Brewers Club level tickets to see them host the Colorado Rockies this coming Sunday. So grab your phone, text in the word text, T-E-X-T. You have until 11 o'clock. Different word coming up with Tom Hartman, 11 to 2. Todd Alba, 2 to 4. And then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6 p.m.
A lot of excitement these days with those Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes.
I'm going tonight. They have a game tonight that they're going. And then after the game is a Nelly concert.
Yep.
And so all of my goofball friends, of course, wanted to go to this one. So we're going to this one.
That should be fun.
Yeah.
And today is the celebration of the release of his first album 25 years ago. Ooh. Nelly. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That one hits a little hard.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area. Also Civic Media's political editor and the Marquette University Law School poll came out. Dan has his latest column about that, talking about whether or not Governor Evers should run for another term and who could potentially run against him on the other side. And in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, they're back. Businessmen Tim Michaels and Eric Hovde considering return to politics with runs for Wisconsin governor. Wasn't enough to lose the first time around. Let's give it another shot.
They're rich.
They're bored. They're entitled.
Yeah, well, whether it's Tim Michaels coming back from Connecticut or Eric Hovde coming back from California. I guess they're going to give this another try, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, but that's the headline today from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. There's been these headlines this week about Tony Evers in 2026 and the stuff from the Marquette poll. Marquette poll did not poll any potential challengers. Josh Schoeman is the only guy who has declared. And I think the fact that we are seeing headlines about Tim Michaels and Eric Hovde should tell you all
sign.
You need to know about Josh Schoeman, about where his candidacy is going.
Tom Tiffany's also been mentioned, kind of on the side.
Tom Tiffany has also been mentioned, yes, but he is also, I'm not sure if he would be the best statewide candidate for Republicans to run. He has not been a very prolific fundraiser in his career. Like he's won a couple of elections, obviously, but in a very red district. But he's not been a very good fundraiser, and I don't know what kind of crossover appeal he would really have. I think that would lead to like a blue Ozaukee County if Tom Tiffany were to run.
But I think that's a really important thing that you mentioned. That's a critically important piece of who runs is how much money they can raise.
Yeah. Yes.
Not qualifications, not qualities for both sides, all sides.
Right.
It's about how much cash can you bring in to make this worthwhile. If you can self-fund a little bit, big help right there.
There you go. I think that's why Hovde and Michaels are being mentioned as back in the mix here, because they can self-fund, right?
They
can make these runs. So I think that's been such a huge factor for Republicans in these races. They do not have a good bench right now. And it's just like this. Doesn't this go to show that the bench is pretty thin right now?
Well, and that's my first thought is, like, one, we've seen since 2020, the 2024, the Wisconsin Republicans calling for Brian Schimming to step down because he just has not done the work that they, but the problem with that is that I don't feel like they've ever properly defined what his work should be, honestly. Brian Schimmings, yeah. I know he's supposed to fundraise, he's supposed to get candidates elected, but he's running this real narrow wire of trying to update the Republican Party, and he did with early voting, he really got that going, but he's got these candidates who aren't very good. And to me, if I'm a Wisconsin Republican, I'm going to say, these two guys, there's nobody else who lives in the state that we can find and we can fund and we can get behind. You're going to bring back the clown boys from the coasts? Seriously, this is so – I feel like if one of these two guys ends up being the nominee for the party, and if they lose, Brian Schimming is out. Because this will be the – because he's already on thin ice with them.
Right.
And I think that if he does not come through for the state – he's gone. And if I'm a regular Republican here, I'm not happy about this.
Republican Party of Wisconsin Chairman Brian Schimming casting doubt on the likelihood of a Tim Michaels run while saying he could see Hovde joining the race? Because, of course, has Hovde even conceded yet that he lost to Tammy Baldwin? Or is he still dragging that out?
He did eventually have some sort of thing. Okay, that, good. Yeah, but, you know,
he put out a video.
That's good.
Couched in all sorts of nonsense about, you know, Milwaukee and vote counts.
Oh,
and blah,
yeah.
Blah,
blah. Drops and
he did a Daniel Kelly. He's got real mad at his concession. Yeah. Gotcha. Good. Yeah. Good to know.
Pretty much. Yeah. What is with Republicans having to rerun all of these retread candidates over and over again? You know, we ran this piece at the recombobulation area after Brad Schimmel lost from a contributor, Josh Clemens, who's a digital guy who works in a bunch of campaign stuff. And he was saying this is also a product of gerrymandering in the Republican side, because they have gerrymandered themselves into these safe seats, and they don't actually have to compete for the votes. And so that when you have an opportunity to build that bench, to have people in competitive races, to take the next step up, to run for statewide office, who from the legislature would make sense to run for a statewide office? It's obviously not going to be like Robin Voss or Devin Lemahue. Like, who are the potential people? Like, we talk about on the Republican or on the Democratic side, you know, we've got a pretty strong bench for Democrats that they have built out over the last few years. You look at the Republican side, the legislators, leadership, and elsewhere. Where is it?
Oh, yeah. Please, Robin, run for governor. please. News is coming up next. When we return, we'll lighten it up with a little audio sorbet. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Civic Media Radio Network. Words are hard.
Text.
Stay with us on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are in the midst of our Text to Win Free Ticket Friday contest. You have until 11 o'clock to grab your Civic Media app, open it up, pick your favorite station, and text in the word text, T-E-X-T, text in the word text, until 11 o'clock, and you are in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club-level tickets for this Sunday. The game is this Sunday as the Brewers host the Rockies. Text in the word text, T-E-X-T. Tom Hartman will have a different word for you between 11 and 2. Todd, all that 2 to 4, and then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6 p.m. Free Ticket Fridays underway. Text in the word text right now.
I feel like they were at the last of like their keywords.
They're running out of creative words.
the word is, but no, it's not. I'm not going to, because then people are going to be like, he said the word.
Don't get that. The word is text, T-E-X-T, text it in, and good luck. Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area, also Civic Media's political editor, and this is the time of the show that we call Audio Sorbet, where we take a little breath, get away from the news and all the serious things, and just so we can have a couple laughs and not think about what's going on in the world.
We get in there and we clean your ears with fun.
15 minutes of just collective sighs. So there's a big wedding going on in Venice. Yeah.
Is there?
There is.
Yeah.
What is it?
A rich guy is marrying a rich
really,
lady.
Really, really, the fourth richest person in the world is getting married this weekend.
Oh, well, good for them.
Yeah. That's going to be our Tisbat, by the way. We have Tisbat coming up to wrap up the show. This shouldn't be a thing. So we're going to do kind of a half hour of wedding-related things.
Okay.
This was a hot discussion off the air between Greg and Calvin.
Mm-hmm.
Weddings, day versus night. Day weddings, where everything happens during the day.
Including the reception.
Including
everything.
The reception. It's all knocked out. Yes. So you start maybe at noon and you have the wedding and then you have the dinner and everything is done by 7 o'clock and you go home.
Mm-hmm.
Or the typical setup, which we have in Wisconsin, which is you get married during the day and then you go to the reception about 6 o'clock. And
or
then
you spend a couple hours at the bar in between the wedding and the reception.
Always works out so well.
Yeah, always.
Spending 5 hours at the bar before you go to the reception. But day versus night weddings, do we have strong feelings about this? 855-752-4842. Greg and Calvin, duke it out. They're the ones who are just really taking hard positions on this.
Day weddings are the best. I win. When we come back, we'll be talking about. The crux of this story was that in 2023, Oh, remember those days? Okay, 2023, I went to Texas for a wedding. It's a very close close family. She's like a sister to me. And the wedding was at 11 o'clock. Okay. I remember this because at noon, it was when there was the big eclipse. Oh, and actually, we gave out glasses afterwards at noon. And everyone came out and we were watching it. And I thought to myself, okay, well, you know, we'll go do the thing. We'll go to the bar for 5 hours. And they said, oh, no, the reception's at 1. I'm like, oh, then they're going to take the pictures afterwards or during and then, you know, do their thing. No, it was wedding at 11, done at noon, reception at 1, done by 5. I was back in my hotel room with a pizza by 5:30. It was still daylight out. I was so happy. And I said to my wife, we messed up. We did it the old way. We should have done it. I mean, I feel like it's just when you, I just feel like you're being so much more respectful of time. Because we did all the things. We danced. We ate. We had fun. They did the chicken.
They had the cake and all the things. They had the cake,
the whole thing. But we did it in 6 hours in a chunk of time when the sun was out the entire time. And it was a beautiful look on this lake in Texas. I was a changed man. I have been converted. The spirit of day wedding is in my soul.
Only day weddings from now on.
So the spirit of day wedding is in my soul. What a sentence.
There it is. And I think day weddings always, day weddings forever.
Calvin, you're up. Day versus night weddings, 855-752-4842 on the night wedding side. Here's Calvin.
Well, I don't have as fleshed out of opinion as that. It's purely a vibes thing. The vibes are better when the sun goes down. You're more comfortable to let loose. Things get a little more exciting when the sun's down. It's purely vibes and aesthetic. I just think it looks nicer and is more fun.
It's more fun.
Day weddings. The vibe was amazing. The sun was going down on a lake in Texas. It was fantastic.
What was your wedding, Dan Shaver?
Our wedding was at the Schlitz Audubon Nature Center. Wonderful place to have a wedding. We did it all in one reception and wedding in the same place, I think, is really the key to not have the multiple locations to drag people around to. But it was like a late afternoon, early evening kind of wedding. And it was terrific. And I you know what, Greg, you've made your case and I've heard you out and you're a good professional radio talker and you've made your case. I'm going with Calvin on this one. The wedding is the way to go. I knew you were just going to
lift me up to throw me back down on the ground right there. We did the same thing. So my wife and I actually, fun fact, we had two weddings. We had a small wedding. And then about 6 months later, we had a huge one. And we did the same thing with the Pritzloft building in Milwaukee.
Another good place for a wedding.
Yep. Yeah.
And I've been to weddings there.
So big. So we had the ceremony on one side. And then all the reception was on the other side. And then they cleaned out that area completely. And then where we had the wedding ceremony, it was the dance floor then.
Right.
So it was all in one space. And we did pictures beforehand. We didn't do the pictures afterwards. Because honestly, like, do your thing, whatever you want. It's your life. Day weddings forever. But that thing of, we got married at noon. The wedding's done at 1. We'll see you all at 6. It's like, I don't want to get out of these clothes. And I don't want to go to a bar and get loaded.
It's not long enough to go home.
Yeah, exactly.
And get comfy and get something done. Mm-hmm. It's basically, now I got to go home and I'm all dressed up and I got to hang around for 3.5 hours before I go back.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I just really appreciate it because it was very beautiful and very, very fun. And I think more people should do it.
Weddings. We are talking all about weddings, day weddings versus night weddings at 855-752-4842. Jesse from Oak Creek texting in the word text.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work of letting people know what's happening in politics in the U.S. and in Wisconsin. Oh, thanks for that, Jesse.
I do have a question. Jesse, I'm just going to say this. I don't think your vote was counted. Because I don't think you did it through the app, because when it comes through on the app, there's a little symbol if you look right above that. So I think if you don't have the app, Jesse, you have to text through the app and just that word. But we appreciate
the nice comments.
Comments.
Yeah, very much.
Thank you very much.
Andrew from Maine, day weddings on Sunday through Thursday for those of us that have to work without travel. Weddings should be wrapped up and done by 2 p.m. Boom.
There it is. Thank you. Over. Thank you, Andrew from Maine.
855-752-4842. Day weddings versus night weddings, or just all weddings. Good. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. We had a night wedding, but we did it at the same venue.
Yep.
So it was a funeral home, but it was a old restaurant that was turned into a funeral home. And so we had the wedding where the funeral normally is.
Sure.
And then the reception in the restaurant area. And the restaurant area had a deck, so it was really pretty. And we had the heaters going. It was October. So, yeah, the whole thing all at one setting and right after each other.
One shot.
So that was
boom, you're done.
Yeah, and got her done.
Got her done.
I love it, Troy. And I love that it was an old funeral home. That's perfect.
I feel like I'm sitting here going, really? And you're like, yep.
Yes, absolutely.
Because you grew up in a...
The chapels are perfect for that. We could have had weddings on the first floor of my family home because we lived upstairs.
Yeah.
So yeah, the chapels are perfect for that.
Did you and your husband have a night wedding? It would be considered a traditional wedding layout?
No, because we did it all in one shot too, like Troy did and like Dan did, and I want to say the ceremony was about 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
It took all of 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we had it at the Charles Alice Museum.
Beautiful.
In Milwaukee, which was fantastic.
Beautiful. Yeah.
They have a great patio there. So after the ceremony, we all went outside on the patio as they knocked everything down and set it up for dinner. And then we just went back in. So I would say within 4.5 hours, 5 hours, it was done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I grew up with the church wedding is at 11 and takes an hour.
Yep.
And then all the pictures of the bridal party and all of that stuff. And then everyone goes bar hopping for 4.5 hours and then reconvenes at the reception. That's what I grew up with.
Yeah. Too many brandy old fashions before you get to the reception.
It's too much. Yeah. I've gone to weddings where the groom was so annihilated. I felt badly for the bride.
Oh, yeah.
I went to a wedding once, and it was a huge wedding, a gigantic wedding. And the bride and her family had told the groom and his groomsmen, if you go to a bar, because what they did was they took pictures separately, and then they came together and took pictures. But they said, if you go to a bar and you guys get wasted, like, there would be serious consequences.
What are they going to do?
I don't know, but here's what happened.
The wedding.
Publicly shame them?
Well, here's what happened. The bridal party went to a bar and got wasted instead. Like, the bride came in tanked.
Oh, man.
And lo and behold, I'm like, why are my aunt and uncle here? My cousin was standing up in the wedding, and they were just wasted beyond belief. And there's the groom's party like, yeah, we're drinking water.
Yeah,
because you said there would be consequences. Yeah.
Here Wisconsin, with my kitty cocktail. Baby. Well, these are Wisconsin weddings. These are very Wisconsin wedding stories. The in between of the wedding and the reception, that's where it gets dangerous. That's why I like having everything
all
in
one
place. And we had, for us, we had the wedding outside, we had the reception and everything inside at night and all of that.
Boom, you're done.
Exactly.
Are we still doing weddings like that in Wisconsin? I would be very curious if we're still having the church ceremony at 11 and then the reception doesn't start until 5. Do we still do that?
I would say that that would depend on where you are in Wisconsin and maybe who is even paying for it, because
if the parents
are paying, they might say something to the effect of, we're paying for it, so this is what's happening. I mean, I know that as going to weddings in the city and in Madison, you see working on a theme, but it's like starting the ceremony later, it's only 10, 15 minutes. Let's party. Let's have a good time. We're done. You know, it's more of an evening affair than an all-day thing.
An all-day commitment, what it is. Jenny on the live stream. More small private wedding ceremonies, please, with big casual parties at a later date. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
That's good, too.
There you go.
Can I tell you about my least favorite trend in wedding stuff that's been happening? When people have these weddings and say, hey, we'd prefer you not to bring your kids. Have you guys been to any of these weddings where they say, don't bring your kids to the wedding? I hate this. As a parent of young kids who wants to see the kids run around and dance and make fools out of themselves.
My wife and I did that.
That's a whole other discussion that we will have to shelve for a later date. We have that. This shouldn't be a thing is coming up on the other side. That's a lot of Amore edition. Jeez. You're listening to Matt and Aaron on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Text in the word text, T-E-X-T. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt and Aaron on air. Jane Matt and Aaron, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the Board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And you got about 7 minutes left to text in the word text, T-E-X-T, via the Civic Media app. You got to use the app. It's free ticket Friday, so you will be in the running once you text in the word text for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets for this Sunday's game when the Brewers host the Colorado Rockies. So text in the word text, T-E-X-T, right now. Tom Hartman will have a different word for you from 11 to 2. Todd Alba from 2 to 4. And then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Free ticket Fridays across the network on Civic Media. Coming up on Monday, Charlie Pittman is back. She is Civic Media's news director. And she's got a regular hit now with us now on Monday mornings.
Yes.
Lots of things happen over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of things break like late Friday afternoon. That's called a news dump.
How many times, Jane, have we gotten off the air and literally within 1 to 2 minutes,
something
news
breaks.
Just comes out. We're like, oh, well, that would have been nice 10 minutes ago. Have,
yeah, but Charlie's going to be here coming up on Monday at 9:35 to do a recap of things that have happened over the weekend because there's always a lot going on. And then there's a great group that a listener gave a heads up us about on Jane Says. We Got This Garden is a community garden project in Milwaukee, and it's about getting our youth involved in growing things and harvesting things.
Absolutely.
And so we're going to talk about We Got This Garden in hour number two coming up on Monday. I hope you can join us. Right now, though, 10:54, Calvin, that means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Big wedding happening this weekend Venice, Italy. The sky is no limits for billionaire Jeff Bezos and fiancée Lauren Sanchez. They have a 3-day wedding going on in Venice right now. The wedding... Which actually, they've only invited 200 people, which I thought it was going to be much more than that.
Yeah.
That's actually not insane.
That seems like a small amount of people for... Also, a 200-person wedding, and it's still costing $50
million. Between 40 and 48 million euros, which is $56 million. $56 million for a 3-day party. That seems like a lot.
That shouldn't be a thing.
That's kind of why we used it for this.
Yeah.
Venetians, by the way, were not,
not
happy about this at all because they were... Venice has had a lot of problems. Too many tourists.
Yeah.
And with cruise ships and everything, and if you have been to Venice, it's a very small area. And it's not built for hundreds of thousands of people.
And tourists... aren't generally known for their respect of
the locals
and the locals
and the locals
and the and all like does that mean every single one of them is not but there are people who walk around cities taking pictures, standing in ways, yelling, screaming, trying to get the locals to be local for them.
Right.
So, yeah, I can understand why. I mean, we're seeing this a lot with other countries. Iceland,
no more tourists.
Iceland a few years ago flat out said, no more Americans.
Spain did the same thing.
Yeah, please don't come here.
Yeah, we don't want you.
Yeah.
The Bezos-Sanchez wedding expected to cost only $56 million. That's over 1,000 times the average cost of American couples' weddings last year, the average cost for an American wedding, which I think is still too much, is $36,000.
Yep.
$36,000.
That is, to me, sounds almost low now. It doesn't seem like the average I would think nowadays would be $40,000-$50,000 just with inflation. And not to mention the wedding taxes you have to pay when you're ordering flowers, a cake, those types of things. When they find out it's a wedding, it's a different price tag. That's why you should always be like, it's a cake for a family gathering.
So don't tell them it's a wedding.
Don't
cake.
Tell them it's a wedding.
That sounds like an awful lot of money for a wedding. It is, again, it is believed that they got married already in the U.S. because if you get married overseas, that is not necessarily valid here in the U.S. So it's believed that Jeff and Lauren already tied the knot and signed a pretty hefty prenup agreement.
I mean, I said this to you earlier. I bet you the prenup is simply just one piece of paper saying, if anything goes wrong, I'll give you $10 billion.
I think it's more complicated
than
that.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure. And Calvin said in our chat, he goes, billionaires only really narrows down the guest list. Yeah. I saw Oprah.
That's true.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, you, I see these people who are talking about, like, real change in this world and we need to help people. And then I see them getting off of boats to this $56 million. And these are, I don't know. It just seems like a party of rich people. And I'm like, I wouldn't even want to go to that. But
I will say on their behalf, they have Jeff Bezos has donated reportedly a considerable amount of money to an organization working in Venice to keep the lagoons clean and things like that. So I'm good for you.
I'd like to, how about $56 million more to a great in American charity?
That, there's a thought too. Yeah. Well, happy nuptials. I'm sure it's going to last forever. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend, even if it's just a little. And you have the chance to share it. Keep it here. News is coming up next on the vast Civic Media Radio Network. Just got about 60 seconds. Text in the word text. T-E-X-T. And have a great weekend. We will see you on Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.